Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have with me Lisa Beretta, who is the author of the Book of Transformation, Open Yourself to Psychic Evolution, The Rebirth of the World, and the Empowering Shift Pioneered by the Indigos. Lisa is a practicing astrologer, intuitive counselor, Reiki practitioner, and the author of The Street Smart Psyche's Guide to Getting a Good Reading. And so I'm very pleased to have her because for the last, I don't know, probably 10 years, we've been, or longer, we've been doing sessions, meditation sessions, getting this information that she has in this book. And so I think a lot of people are interested in the transition that we're going through, a quickening phase right now especially, and are very interested in how this quickening and transformation is related to the ascension and also the related to some of the earth changes and other things that we've been told might be in our future next coming year or so. So we're pleased to have Lisa to talk about this shift. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Doctor. I mean, that was an amazing introduction. Thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be on your show because it's so important that people understand that as we shift into this different energy, integrated medicine, holistics are going to play a very, very big part in how we treat the whole unit, not just the physical body, but also our energy body. So this is an amazing time for all of us, and there's so much information that needs to be put out to make people aware that, you know, we're changing, we're shifting, we're evolving, and, you know, there's new methods to explore that really can take care of any of the problems we may encounter as we shift.
Yeah, the some of the masters of the past talked about this time frame. Yogi Bhajan specifically said it would be a time of keeping up, which is interesting, keeping up with all of the changes, and specifically that there'd be a lot of neurological and some psychiatric symptoms, more in the realm of the psyche and neurology as we shift. But as your book goes into a very good description of some of the other things, I think it's on page 118, the most commonly experienced symptoms. We find here that a lot of these symptoms are improved with magnesium and also improved with rest and eating high, you know, energized diets that are free of preservatives like you recommend. But, you know, I really appreciate your explanation of the high-frequency sounds that everybody's hearing now, the buzzing of bees that the masters used to say was indicates you're close to the fifth dimension. And that's something, so many of my patients have come in and said, I'm having tinnitus and I need treatment for it. And I go, no, you're not. You're having a spiritual awakening and you just need to pay attention to it. So I just love your book because it's bringing together so much of what we've been seeing clinically.
You know, it's amazing. As soon as you become open, and I explain in the book, things synchronistically happen for you, or you may be led to a certain person, a certain book, or a certain amount of information that you need. And when you were going on and you said how you find that a lot of these symptoms are helped by magnesium, I'm like, oh, my God. I have it in my hand here. As you said that, I picked it up. I was in a health food store about, I'd say, a week and a half ago. For some reason, I don't even know why, I bought magnesium. Mm-hmm. I didn't know why I was buying it, but I bought it. It's high-potency magnesium. It's 500 milligrams. Something just told me to buy it. And and as you said that, I immediately resonated, I need this, because we're all shifting and changing. And I've been taking it, and it works for me.
Yeah. It's really very important in the shift. I've told this story before on the radio show, but it is cute. One of my roommates was one of the top, I mean, he was one of the top 100 psychics in the country, you know, in that book or whatever. And so he comes downstairs one day, and I'm watching TV, and he goes, I had a dream that I had to ask you what I needed. And I turn around and I go, magnesium. He said, thank you. And he goes back up.
That's great.
So that's really funny. His guides, instead of telling him to take magnesium, which he certainly could have understood, he's a very good psychic, told him to.
Well, you know, now I have my magnesium story, which I'm going to tell everybody now because I didn't know why I bought it. And I bought it, and now I'm going to research it even further. Something just told me to get it. And You're right. This shift is here. I mean, Edgar Cayce had talked about it, mm-hmm. you know, the American Sleeping Prophet. And it's just, even for people who have read in the Bible, there were things that, you know, a time of enlightenment. But, you know, mm-hmm. we're taking it out of that realm where it belongs in a structured religion or a structured thought, and we're putting it out there that this is a natural step in our evolution. We're going from being the Homo sapien, the logical man, to the Homo sentient, the energy-sensitive man. And our whole civilization is shifting. I think today we're supposed to have some solar storms, which is going to put some highly charged plasma out
right.
there. And on a very subtle level, we'll feel it, and we won't know what we're feeling, but it's all part of this shift.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm glad this is an internet radio show, because one of the things they said it could affect is the other kind of radio show, the radio
yeah,
show.
Yeah, right, that's the satellite ones, right?
Right, yeah.
But
so,
I get
hopefully.
A lot of people with the physical symptoms of the shift, mm-hmm. and you're right. As you start to open up to your psychic senses, which are really just the enhanced version of your physical senses, because we all have psychic smells, psychic taste, psychic hearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, so many people, and I've heard it from my peers and people who have just always been open psychically, that they've been accused of being bipolar, schizophrenic, and they're not.
Oh, yeah.
But it's
yeah.
it's just a different way of tuning in.
Well, pretty soon, any of those doctors who are out there saying that anybody who hears voices in their head should be committed, pretty soon the whole population is going to have to be committed.
Exactly, because we're all going from AM to satellite radio real soon, only it's going
to
be in an energy
right.
way. It's going to be, and the same thing, too, with children, what we call the indigo children, the crystal children,
mm-hmm.
the rainbow crystal children, this, you know, what I'd like to call our upgrade, which came in like droves in the late 80s,
mm-hmm.
a lot of these kids, they are just sensitive to processed foods, to medication. They need a more natural, holistic approach. They need doctors that are willing to understand that, hey, it's a frequency shift with these kids. But,
right.
you know, I've had some people who are very scientific and not open say, well, where's the proof? Where's the proof? It's like science deals with the material world. We're dealing with
mm-hmm.
the quantum energy world. And we this is a whole new field, and I can see, you know, medical field really opening up to this more, because you have no choice. Just like when you bring your car in, now it's not like the old school way of just getting it tuned up with a
mm-hmm.
few tools. It goes in for a diagnostic. So this
right.
is, everything's shifting and changing at a very fast rate now. Look how far we've come with our own technology in just the past few years, though. I mean, we're going to surpass our technology pretty soon.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, too, the things that people are feeling in their bodies. We were told that every third day between last week and the 10th of September, every third day there'd be an intensification of this process. But essentially, what a lot of us are feeling are a spinning sensation at the base and at the heart chakras, internal spinning sensation, and then accompanied by a desire just to rest and go to bed and eat lightly and, you know, just rest. And it's very interesting that this, I believe, is the quickening. And we think the energy is coming in from the galactic center, and it is truly just speeding up whatever, you know, whatever chakras it's hitting. And, you know, your book does an excellent job at going through and talking about each of the chakras and what sort of issues or might be contained in blockages of those chakras. And I think essentially what it comes down to is the people who are service to self rather than service to others, you know, who lie for a living, who, you know, are fear-based and also fear-mongers, they're going to have a hard time with this energy. I mean, a real hard
they
time,
are.
Not just a little
they
hard
are
time.
Now that we're all developing, and everyone at their own rate, but nonetheless, we're still developing along. We're pushed into this fast lane galactically where we are. There is a higher
mm-hmm.
charged energy, like I said today with the solar storms, the plasma. And you're right, I had heard about different openings, too, with the energy coming in. Specifically,
mm-hmm.
one very potent week was supposed to be, I believe, from the 1st of July to the 7th of July. That was another like real big portal of energy coming in.
Right,
and,
that's true.
You know, this isn't something you're going to read on in the newspaper or here on CNN because they still mm-hmm. consider this fringe information. When actually, it's very true, and it does explain why we do feel differently. And I see that a lot too with the fear mongers and the people who want to, you know, not let go. They're still very much attached to their things, the old belief system. This energy is not resonating well with them. And what mm-hmm. I see a lot in my own practice of doing the intuitive counseling and astrological readings, I see that they're experiencing more problems in the material world than the people who are just kind of willing to let go, you know, mm-hmm. because they're holding on for dear life. They don't want to realize it's
right.
okay to shift and change. And you're right about that. It's just sensing a lie now, or sensing when someone's not being authentic. And it's okay to speak your truth, but it's how you do it. You don't want to hurt anybody, but it's okay to be honest, you know, and be
yeah.
and have other people be receptive to your honesty.
And as you say in your book, when the majority of people on the planet are clairvoyant and clairaudient and can sense energy, like you say, you know, in a situation or a group of people or even a person, then the people who are con artists, the people who are into power and control, and the people who are, you know, basically bullies, I mean, schoolyard bullies, that's probably what they were back in school, really aren't going to do well because they won't be able to fool anybody. They won't be able to scare anybody. They won't be able to tell lies and be believed. Everybody, it'll be like raising a red flag and going, I'm lying. And everybody will say, well, he's lying. Like, so,
exactly.
So how far is that going to get him?
False emotion appearing real. So you can tell when somebody's lying. And I have also noticed a lot of people who they're walking away from jobs and relationships that were frustrating them anyway, where maybe in
right.
the old way of thinking about being attached, they stay because, mm-hmm. you know, the old belief is you have to stay because if you leave, then you know, you're seen as someone who does not make good decisions. But especially in relationships, if one person is, you know, evolving a little bit faster than the other, it becomes, you know, to the point where it's very frustrating to stay in a relationship that's not serving your highest good. And you just see it. And you know, but I tell people, look, it happens. It's okay. If you need to get out of a relationship that doesn't work for you anymore, it's how you do it. You can do it peacefully mm-hmm. with a lot of light and keep the fear mongers out of it, you know, the people who want to exploit your problems and make a lot of money out of it.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I myself went through a divorce a few years ago, and I, mm-hmm. I that's when I first got into Reiki, and my Reiki teacher said, do you want this to be over with quickly? I said, yes. She said, first of all, drop the fear. Let's just
mm-hmm.
go into it.
Right.
You're just, you know, you're just changing your energy, Lisa. That's all you're
mm-hmm.
doing, just shift. And as soon as I went in with that, I did something and click, my energy shifted.
Mm-hmm.
It was peaceful. It was nice. And it was wrapped up, like, almost immediately. And it wasn't
mm-hmm.
about who left with the most amount of toys. It's like, who just left feeling centered and at peace and put on the path they're meant to be on, and totally worked for me. And, you know, how you do it.
If you follow your guidance, you know, if you care to recreate the toys and the houses and the boats and whatever, you can recreate those. You see, if we're all creative beings, if you want something and you lose it, just recreate it. I mean, that kind of thinking is something that just wasn't around, you know, a few years ago. Most people were, you know, were fighting over things for years. But if you know you can recreate what you want, why not do it? You know, if something's important to you, recreate it.
Exactly.
Rather than,
and a lot of people develop physical symptoms because they're in jobs and in relationships that really are stressing them out. And stress is
mm-hmm.
is the biggest, you know, enemy to your overall well-being, because anything that eventually manifests in the physical form starts out in that grid, your energy grid,
mm-hmm.
where the blueprint for what we are is held. And when that is obstructed either from a prior incarnation or from a false belief or from a repeated pattern, and you don't nip it there, eventually it's going to show up as a physical condition. You know, so you have
right.
to catch it when it's there, but we're just getting used now to like, we can't see our energy bodies. So, you know, it's a new awareness that we have to have. And once we connect into our energy field, we'll see, like, okay, let's nip the problem before it eventually shows us there is a problem in the physical body.
Right.
But some illnesses
true.
Are, I believe, people say, well, what about inherited illnesses? I get that question a lot. It's like sometimes past karma doesn't mean you were a bad person. It just means there's a parallel type of program that's still playing somewhere in your own system that needs to be cleared, you know, mm-hmm. in order to, you know, move forward. Sometimes an illness will hold a lesson or it will show you what needs to go in and be corrected. So it's how we have to start looking at things differently, more on a quantum level.
Yeah, and when you see the energy disruptions in the field, you can actually take them back. You can see if they're generational. You can see if they're, you know, attached to curses in the past or something, just habits. You know, that I think there's something to be said that if you have a certain habit or a way of dealing with things generation after generation after generation, it can get stuck in the DNA and manifest as certain genetic diseases. One thing Hilarion talked about in his books was that people who abused animals in previous lives would come into this life with genetically transmitted, often genetically transmitted, sometimes not, skin conditions. And that's really held true in my practice. People come in for healings, and when we follow it back, especially the real strange diseases, the weird ones, we find that they're connected to past life situations. And Hilarion described it as people who were insensitive to animals then developed a skin disease so that they could become more sensitive in this incarnation. So
that's so true, because even Dr. Ian Stevenson, he's deceased now, he did a lot of research at the University of Virginia about children mm-hmm. and past lives, and it was very interesting when I was doing the research for my book how he said birthmarks are linked to past life traumas.
That's
where,
true. Yeah.
And then when you go back in, and I actually had a birthmark on my back. I had that, you know, reevaluated through a past life experience, and I found out what it was. And as I was being told, I'm resonating. I can feel it. I can relate to everything I was being told about that birthmark. And it's true. They leave energy imprints on the physical body because it's still held within the energetic body. So mm-hmm. it's there, and it's going to show up. It's a fingerprint. It's a mark. And it doesn't mean that it's anything bad. It's just recognize where you're holding it and finally release it, and everything feels better.
And when we have an energy body around us, so when we approach somebody who has an energy body that doesn't agree with ours because perhaps they did something like, you know, I think in your book you said you were stabbed while writing, being a scribe in a monastery. So if that particular individual who stabbed you is incarnated now and he or she approaches your field, you'll probably get quite a charge off of that, you know. You
oh,
might
yeah,
not
definitely.
Know why. You might not know the specifics, but you might really recoil emotionally, especially from that person, and go, why do I feel this way? You know, why do I dislike this person so intensely and have fear come up in me? You know, and it will. It'll come up in you, and you go, I have no reason to be afraid of this person. You know, I just met him.
But you're so right. You are so right. And it's about awareness. Once
it is.
People become more aware, like, that's right. You know, a certain number patterns seem to follow people around. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a certain number and a birthday that also shows up in an address or a phone number. They're all codes. They're almost like a cosmic binary code that for your own personal frequency, you're tuning in. Colors, why are we attracted to certain colors? Colors have a frequency. They're healing. Maybe you need to be surrounded by a lot of blue, so you find you buy blue clothing or decorate mm-hmm. in blue because you're attracted to the frequency. Or maybe it's a frequency that you lack and you need to pull in through your surroundings. It was so interesting.
Yeah, it is. I had an experience where I bought a house and the address was 555. And at the time, I was working a lot with Melchizedek. And Melchizedek is, the kind of the leader in spiritual science. And my job has always been to, you know, kind of figure out what the miracles are, spontaneous remission, teleportation, you know, bilocation, just the science behind the miracles. that's what, you know, we've been working on for a while, both in medicine and just in science. So I thought it was very interesting that I ended up at 555, you know, the
isn't it amazing that, you know, certain things will you'll just resonate to, and when you need the information or you need their frequency, it's there. Now, I had a situation. Mm-hmm. My youngest son is now 22, but when he was 6 years old, they thought that he had petite mal epilepsy. And I was like, no, this kid can't have that. He was always very gifted. He taught himself to read. When he was 2 years old, he was actually reading. He talked early, so I always knew that he was gifted, just a gifted kid. And for some reason, I don't know why, because I don't have a formal medical background, I just always felt like he's downloading information from somewhere. And this is before, you know, talk of the shift was popular or even out there. I just felt he's getting this information. Maybe he's part alien, but he's very, very smart. So when they told me he had petite mal epilepsy, right away the doctors wanted to put him on Depakote, and then I would get to bring him in every so often. When he was six, when he started first grade, the teachers told me that he would go into these staring sessions in class, and I brought him to a doctor, and they right away said that he had petite mal epilepsy. You know, they were afraid that he was just going to eventually go into grand mal seizures. So I was panicked, because he was my brilliant child who taught himself to read when he was two and always very bright, and just, I don't even know where he was getting his information. He was just very good at. Brought him to top doctors in Philadelphia, and they said, oh yeah, definitely. They did the EEGs on his brain scan, and they said, oh yeah, he has epilepsy. We're going to put him on Depakote, and then you'll bring him in and have his liver tested, and we're going to make sure his levels are okay. And I'm like, wait. No. And they're telling me I'm making a big mistake, because he could be outside playing, and maybe he'll have a seizure and not see a car. I was scared. And I brought him home, and I sat there, and I'm just meditating, and I'm really putting this energy out there. I need an answer. I need an answer. I'm not feeling comfortable with what I'm being told. Next thing you know, a woman who lived in the neighborhood, I really wasn't that close with her. I would just see her at the mailbox, came up and said she had just bought a book called Nutritional Healing for Children, and how thrilled she was with it because her son was on Ritalin, and I went out and bought the book. And that led me on to buy Edgar Cayce, who was a lot into natural healing, and I bought some Edgar Cayce on natural healing. I researched epilepsy, and I told the doctors, I don't want to start him on medication. I want to start him on, I had a series of, he still remembers, like, oh my God, used to make me take boron, zinc. He was taking
right,
calcium,
yeah.
Magnesium. I changed his diet, and I just kept on working with the vitamins. And I didn't even realize it at the time, but I would bring him over to me, and I'd say, let's just settle your energy. It's just, you think too fast. You're ahead of your time. Mm-hmm. We just need to slow your brain down a little bit. We're just putting too much information in at once. And when I had to bring him back, it was about 7 or 8 weeks later. He had to go back to the hospital just for a follow-up checkup. I brought him in. They looked at him again. The pediatric neurologist turned out the light, was looking in his eyes, and I thought, oh, my God, this must be pretty bad. I'm thinking, God forbid, don't let it be a brain tumor or something. And the doctor ran out, and he came back with another doctor, and after they looked at the test results, the younger doctor said, he's neurologically perfect. And I said, he's not had any of these seizures, and I gave him the amount of time, and I told him what I did, and I said, you know, I know it's not traditional, and I don't want to do this kid any harm, and I don't want to put him in any danger. And the younger doctor said, I agree with whatever you're doing. It's working for you, although here I have to advise you otherwise with medications, but if this is working for him, then continue it, and, you know, if there's a problem, then you'll be back. Thank God. It never returned. He went on to not only get a full scholarship to high school, he got a full scholarship to the University of Pennsylvania. He just graduated this past May. He started a great job in New York. And I often think back, wow, if I would have went from my fear-based emotions, like let's just dose him up with medication and not look at some alternatives, I don't think he would have been able to accomplish what he accomplished. He may have just become a victim of a system that doesn't totally understand that not everything has a physical answer. Some things need to be looked at more on an energy. And, of course, if he did need, medication, and if I could have integrated it, I would have. But thank God, in his case, I was able to catch it and just transmute that energy, because energy can't be created or destroyed, but you can switch the channel, and just help him shift it and slow it down. And it worked for me, you know. And I'm not saying that it's going to work for everybody, but it is an alternative way to look at conditions that traditionally we just want to label and medicate and next.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at the whole generation of kids that are on Ritalin and all the autism and everything, it's a combination of two things, I think. I do think these children are wired differently neurologically and certainly more sensitive. There's a great deal of functional medicine involved, as with your son. When functional medicine takes in account pathways and how the Krebs cycle works and how other biochemical pathways work, and if you have nutrient or mineral deficiencies, that they can be, or also if you just want to increase nutrients to a pharmaceutical level, you know, a high level for them to push a pathway, then a lot of diseases can be cured that way. That there's a whole new aspect of functional medicine within holistic integrative medicine that is, I think, is really promising for what we have. Because at least in the United States, we have a lot of nutritional deficiencies because our diet isn't very good. And then if you add the energetic component to that, once we understand energetic anatomy, I think that we'll be able to release blockages coming from other time frames, including past lives, and then we can open up, you know, energetic systems so that the neurological and endocrine systems don't get short-circuited, because that's what happens when you have blockages.
You get
patterns of disease.
We're pulling in such a high ranges of frequency right now. That, you know, it was interesting when I researched the book. I, you know, talked to holistic healers. I talked to people who do, you know, body work, aromatherapy. Mm-hmm. And I found out that every organ of the body has its own frequency. And also that certain hours, especially in Eastern medicine, there's certain hours for the organs to recode or download. Just as mm-hmm. if you were going to turn your computer off at night, it says, do not shut down, you know, it's updating a program. You know, and I was told that there are certain hours for the liver to process, and the liver is where we hold our anger. And mm-hmm. if we've had a bad day, we may find we're waking up in the middle of the night between 1 and 3 because that's the hour mm-hmm. of the liver to process. And it was so interesting because if we start to incorporate, you know, the fact that these organs do have a frequency to them, we'll understand that when there is a blip in the system, like you said, the medication along with treating the energy imbalance and whatever's coming in maybe from a parallel life or a past mm-hmm. life experience that may be still running, it's a more complete healing.
Right, right. Well, what the theory we go on in holistic and integrative medicine is, you use things like surgery and antibiotics and pain medicine for acute, serious problems. If you have appendicitis, you can go to a healer and it might work, but, you know, it also, if it didn't work, it might go into peritonitis, which is life-threatening. So, you know, the risk of surgery is minimal, and I'd rather use the healer on the other side of that, you know, to help heal after the surgery. But, you know, chronic conditions aren't the same thing. Chronic conditions are probably blockages. Those blockages could be in your, you know, higher energy bodies, they could be in your chakra system, they could be actually in your body. You could have a blocked bile duct or a blocked functional medicine pathway, like the Krebs cycle might not work correctly, like in chronic fatigue. So, you know, what we're trying to do is expand our vision of what's going on beyond just the third dimension into the higher energy bodies, understand biophysics, not just biochemistry, and then offer solutions for problems that are that don't have solutions. Cancer, you know, serious infections that antibiotics are not treating, diseases like Morgellons, which you know, aren't supposed to exist, you know, all the things that are politically incorrect are usually politically incorrect for a reason. And if you understand the higher energy fourth dimensional intrusions into the third dimension, if a disease has that, then perhaps it might also have a spontaneous remission, like cancer does. So you have to go beyond the third dimension to understand the diseases. Just like physicists know very well that it's not just matter that exists, it's dark matter, not just energy, but dark energy. They're looking in a fourth dimensional component up against the third dimension. If you don't consider what physics knows, including the frequency theory of superstring, if you can't incorporate that within your knowledge of your science of biology, then your science is severely limited. And then you'll have all these miracles that you can't explain. that's what the miracles are when these other dimensional aspects come into play.
Well, when I was even researching the book, I came across, Dr. Royal Rife. He was a 20th century American inventor and scientist, and he developed a machine that applies currents of specific frequencies to the body to cure a wide range of disease, because he felt that each disease had a specific frequency, and that certain frequencies can, prevent the development of disease, or maybe obliterate it, or put it in some type of remission, because our cells are in constant communication with each other through frequency. And I thought that was so interesting. And then when I started to research further, I said, well, why would they get rid of his experiments and not look further? And why isn't
he get rid of him?
Get rid of him, yeah. And they said,
yeah, right.
There is no funding, especially like at UVA. Why did they stop, the research into birthmarks and past lives? Because there's no funding.
Mm-hmm.
And when there isn't any funding, then you can't continue the courses and you can't generate an interest.
Who controls the funding?
Yeah, the false structure.
Let me fill that in for our listeners. Corporations and governments provide funding, okay? If you look at any list, you'll see companies like Dow Chemical, Monsanto, and then, of course, the government also provides funding. But if you look above that, you'll find that things that are not politically correct aren't funded. Like, I was interviewing a doctor in the mid-90s, and he said that there was a professor of urology at a famous clinic that was going to do research on why some men with penile silicone implants got systemic disease, and the next week he didn't have a job.
Oh, I believe
and I
that.
I would say that that's because he stumbled onto something that was like a powder keg, and had he done any research on it, it would have, flowed to silicone in all the various things that we have, not just breast implants. I wrote The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, so I know all about this, the cover-up there. But, basically silicone is in skincare products, it's in our foods, it's in our prescription medicines. You just don't want to go into all the places that silicone is, because if silicone is not good for certain HLA types, certain part of the population, the companies like Dow Chemical may not want you to know that. And I know it's true here. I mean, just yesterday I was one of the case managers that was with me during a office visit for another patient. We were talking about that, and she was B27 positive, and she said for years she knew she couldn't do anything with silicone in it because it gets absorbed through the skin if it's in a skincare product, or fabric softeners have silicone. So, they just don't, the powers that be don't want you to know how prevalent that is in the community.
Because they make a lot of money, and they get a lot of funding
absolutely.
From the companies that keep on putting it out there. And it's a shame because, we've become such a money-driven society, and even with people who have lost their 401ks and their homes to the bank frauds, it's trying to make us look and open our eyes and say, hey, they really don't care about you. There's this group that only cares
I don't think so.
And their money, they don't care. And it's now, as we shift, it's nice that we get this information out. so we can have more control and be more aware and know that, you know, things don't happen, you know, to us. Things happen because of us. So if we want to be proactive and look into alternative ways or just a different way of opening up and not buying into everything that's put in front of us, you know, we have more control over the type of life we create and the quality of our life.
And we all have an internal guidance system. I mean, I've written papers on this, and I'm sure, yeah, I mean, I know you know about it because it's in your book. We all have an internal guidance system, which is now being switched on. And that internal guidance system, you know, you're a very unique individual. You have unique biochemistry, unique genetics, unique environment, unique whatever, energetics. So what's dangerous for me is not necessarily what's dangerous for you. And so my guidance system is needed to keep me out of trouble, just like your guidance system is needed to keep you out of trouble. And yeah, I mean, we might both get to avoid GMO foods, but perhaps I can eat wheat, whereas you can eat dairy. Do you see what I mean? It's like
exactly.
Certain things, not everybody needs to avoid both wheat and dairy, but some people do. You know, some people need to avoid both. I went to my chiropractor, who's in this clinic, in the Millennium Healthcare, and I was saying, God, my neck's really bothering me. I don't know why, you know. And he's very clairvoyant. He goes, he got right away, it was casein. It was because I've been told for years not to eat cheese, but people have been bringing a lot of pizza for free and other cheese-based dishes. And they're just in the kitchen, you know, and I'm hungry, so I grab one. So, but it was a casein. And so he released, you know, he did NAET or the allergy elimination technique for that. I'm kind of allergic to it. And told me to avoid it for 24 hours. But I thought it was just amazing that I could just walk in the room and he could know what it was. And I went, oh yeah, well that makes sense. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I can't emphasize enough to people how important things like reflexology, Reiki, and massage are. You mentioned them in your book. And any body work, any, you know, you've got to be guided to the right individual, but what happens when you're in the right place? You go into a deep, deep, deep relaxation that then is very, very healing. And that, and although you can go into that by yourself, I think, at least for me, I go into a much deeper relaxation when I'm getting these body works from other healers.
That's
really important, I think.
I really resonate to acupressure. That, like you said, everyone, you'll be drawn to what you need. Everyone needs something different. Acupressure really works for me, and if, you know, I just, you lay on the table on just certain spots or are pushed with it along your spine and in the shoulder and neck area. And as that's going on, I totally can just feel things like releasing. And it works great for me where I know other people that have had it and, you know, they're not too sure if they felt any better, but you will be attracted to what you need.
Right. That's
I had a problem
true.
With ongoing, like, my sinuses were bothering me for like 6 weeks straight, and it wasn't allergies and... Finally, my Reiki master said, you know, you are irritated with someone. I said, I'm irritated with someone, and she said, think about it. I'm like, I'm right. She said, you're holding that. Let's release it. She did long-distance Reiki on me, and unless you've experienced it, you might think that's not possible. As she's talking to me, all of a sudden I heard a pop, pop, and my nose started to run like crazy. I think I made it in this book, and I had to grab a tissue, and she says, there you go. She said, now, it may take 4 days for the whole process to be complete, but release it, let it go. And I'm like, oh, thank you so much. I mean, I walk around my house with clearing essence, and I'm a firm believer in, like, clearing the energy, you know, because when you have people in and out of your house or visitors, even if you're having a good time, there's an energy that's left behind. So I like to clear my space because that really works for me, and it's just we're getting more familiar with the fact that we do live in a world, the unseen world is becoming more, I guess you could say, energetically tangible to us. We're starting to feel that energy.
Right. What we've done for years here at the center, I have a center 10,000 square feet, a little bit over that, with four operating rooms, and you know, it's a very large center. And of course, we have surgery patients here, and so my the people that help me do this, the clearing, my friends who help me. we go room to room and we feel the energy. And the two areas that have the lowest energy are the room we keep people in before surgery. That's like the pre-op room. They wait there before surgery. And then the area in recovery where they recover. So we have to clear those two areas all the time. It's probably fear. And then plus coming out of anesthesia, you know, just, I think people release a lot of energy coming out of anesthesia. Like if somebody, it was a Vietnam vet or really bad post-traumatic stress, they'll come out of anesthesia almost violent. You know, they'll just, you know, huge amounts of energy is released as you come out of anesthesia, which is probably good for them, but can be challenging to the people taking care of them. You know, it's a night to get injured, you know, as they come out. So
we're becoming more in tune, like the way animals are very instinctive. I know myself, if I take the cat and, you know, put the cat in the carrier, the cat freaks out because the cat is going to the veterinarian and the cat...
Yeah, it doesn't like it.
It's going to be examined or have a needle. And the one Siamese cat, actually, during a big shift that we had, an energy shift that I knew that was going on because, you know, everybody who's more in tune with what's going on and keeps up with the certain dates, this cat started to pluck its hair out, actually gave itself a mohawk.
Oh, no.
And when I brought it to the vet, I'm like, not fleas, not allergies, what is it? And vet's looking at the cat, $700 later, all the tests are fine, liver's fine, everything's fine. Might be stressed, you want to put it on Kitty Prozac. I'm like, no. I brought
Kitty
the cat
Prozac?
Home and, Kitty Prozac. I figured, no, because then we have to get the cat's liver tested. So I just raked the cat whenever I got a chance. And cat's hair grew back. It, cat's fine. Little
That's
bit more
funny.
To go, but it, cat looks good. Actually, it looked cute with a mohawk. It was my cat's story.
Oh, well.
But even
That's
animals
amazing.
Are reacting to the shift.
Yeah, they are. And what's sad is that, you know, we're running all these tests. I mean, one of my friends had a, he kept jerking horribly, but when he was driving, that was really dangerous, right? So he goes to the neurologist, and they run about $10,000 worth of tests that are negative. So he comes back, he comes to our meditation session, and we all immediately know that he's got some blockages. So we take him back to the healing room, and 15 minutes later, his jerking has stopped. You know, it's just like, it's just really, you can clear blockages in 15 minutes, and then these severe neurological symptoms that are very scary and perhaps even dangerous just go away. So I think we need to do something. If we're trying to save money in healthcare, we need to educate people about these, you're not going to really educate the doctors because they're practicing like they practice, but you need to educate the patients that maybe the first step isn't neurology. And,
that they,
you know,
they want to try other things too. I know, like, every now and then you'll hear a run of something. You know, there for a while, when I was dealing with my clients, everyone knew somebody who had some type of a heart problem, tachycardia or arrhythmia. And, of course, like, you know, there are physical problems. But where's the energy block going on, too, that's, like you said, you know, or closing up these pathways? Lately, I've been hearing a lot of people who know someone or experience someone who has bladder cancer. And I'm wondering, you know, that's a release. You know, what are you really just disgusted with in your life that's keeping you, you know, feeling just very, you know, upset with the world around you? What is the thought process behind this disease that's causing this energy blockage that's manifesting physically, too? You know? So that seems to be a big run now, too. And then you start to think, well, is it a combination? Is it something in the food, something in the air, a combination of both? You have to look at every avenue to get a really good, you know, grip on what's causing it and the best way to cure it and handle it.
My advice right now is to muscle test or pendulum test any food before you eat it, especially meat and seafood. Just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think there's an awful lot of contamination in the upper chains of the biological, that pyramid, especially for seafood.
Oh, yeah.
I think seafood is chemically toxic or arsenic or, you know, whatever. In fact, we know it is. I mean, we absolutely know it is.
They were telling people
so,
to watch
just be careful.
Sushi, yeah.
Seafood isn't regulated. Just know that. Seafood isn't regulated. At least meats are regulated by the government. Seafood isn't at all.
I had someone on a show when I said...
Oh,
okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just say people don't know that. People assume that the government, because the government regulates meat, that it also regulates seafood. And one of my patients' caregivers was way up in the food industry and told me all about it over dinner one night, you know, did things I didn't know. But he was in the position to know.
And that is good to know, because food has a vibration. And I know I said that on a show last month. I was saying, you know, food has a vibration. And I've got a few emails, what do you mean food has a vibration? And I answered back, it's, you know, I used to love to, you know, go to a cookout and have a good steak. But for some reason, the vibration from beef is too heavy for me, and I can't handle it. If I eat it, I don't feel good. I just get pains in my stomach. The vibration's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not good for me. You know, so some people can still eat it and be okay, but I'm recognizing that, wow, I'm getting turned off the foods that I used to really like, and I'm turning more to other foods right now. And just it's like I did when I bought the magnesium, like I talked about earlier in the show.
Right.
I don't know why I bought it, but I bought it. And I just, you know, I started to take it. And then when you said it's very important for this ascension process that we're going through, it's like, wow, I, you know, I was excited because it's like, okay, I'm tuning in.
Yeah. And we all have this internal guidance system. And, you know, we were talking earlier about how relationships and jobs and, well, jobs are relationships, really, unless you work alone. These things are all shifting. But I wanted to remind everybody that Edgar Cayce's, one of his, one of the things he brought in from the higher realms is that energy determines relationship. So that when you're vibrating at similar energy levels, that the relationship is easy. There's no misunderstandings. There's no problems. There's no, in fact, you can energize each other. When you have somebody in your life that's a different energy, especially if they're going down, they're cycling down, getting more pessimistic, getting more problematic, and you're cycling up, you know, getting more optimistic, getting more aware of frequencies, you just, it just isn't going to work. I mean, it's you don't have to, you know, you don't have to try to hold things together, because they will naturally fall apart. And just recognizing that and accepting it, you can just save yourself a lot of grief, I think. I mean,
I see a lot of, before in the astrological and intuitive counseling end of my business, you know, before I was getting a lot of questions about relationships, that when's he going to call, am I, you know, am I going to get engaged, am I going to get married?
Yeah.
Now I see a big change, especially over the past 2 years, where people are okay, that not to be with any one person. It looks like everyone's working on themselves first, because they're starting to realize, if I'm okay with me, then I'm going to attract somebody of, you know, the same frequency as me, and I'm going
higher
to
higher caliber.
Right, because you're not going to get anyone and change them. That's like the old school
way.
No,
you're not.
No, you're not. So it's about being okay with yourself, no matter if you're short, tall, fat, thin, no matter what you are. If you're feeling good about yourself, then you're good. You're you know, that's all that really matters, just to, you know, stay in that higher vibration where you're happy. You know, and that's going to start to lead on to synchronicities and the people that you need to be around and the information that you need. Everything's going to start to flow towards you. This is exciting. I like all the information coming out about the shift, because 2012 isn't about destruction. It's about transformation.
Right, it is. That's very true. And in your book, you talk about, some of us anyway, putting on a little more weight and doing that in order to hold the higher frequencies. And we got that in session, that was going to happen before it happened, and then it did happen. And then, you know, I was talking to some of my friends about going on a diet, and they said, no, you're not supposed to go on a diet. You're supposed to be at this weight, you know, but it'll just drop off naturally when you know, the purpose for it being there is gone. And I think that's true. I mean, I think and it's not a lot of weight. It's about 20 pounds, you know, and I put it on during my 50s, so that's certainly, I mean, common. But some of the weight gain is expected. And then when we're through the shift, we'll probably drop it off without dieting. And then the other thing, that is important that we were told in session that you say in your book is that there will be a natural plastic surgery. We were told that many of us would start looking younger. Our face would tighten up, neck would tighten up, skin would tighten up. It's predicted and it's in your book, and we'll see what happens. But I think if you look at pictures of Buddhist monks who are in their 80s, and they look like they might be 55, you know? I mean,
yeah,
they look really good.
They look really good.
That is evidence that this spiritual energy can create a natural, correction of aging, and then also maybe stop the aging process from being so, drastic. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, because a lot of what causes the aging is the stress we have from false beliefs and fear, and the food that's all chemically treated.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting all these frequencies into our body, so it's causing blocks. But you're right. I see a lot of people that are in their 50s and 60s and look better than they did when they were in their 30s.
Right.
They just
very interesting.
Shift.
It is. Yeah. Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Yes, if anybody is interested, they can go to my website, which is www.lisaberetta.com. It's B, A as in Apple, R, E as in Edward, T, A as in Apple. And the book is The Book of Transformation, which is available at www.newpagebook.com. And New Page offers different buying options if you like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or you want to support your indie bookstores. All your options are right there on their page. And thank you so much for having me on. I really enjoyed the show.
It was fun. Thanks, Lisa. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb. We've been interviewing Lisa Beretta. Her book, The Book of Transformation, Open Yourself to Psychic Evolution, The Rebirth of the World, An Empowering Shift Pioneered by the Indigos. It's a great book, been a great discussion. And join us next week. We will be interviewing Elena Lieberman, The Principles of Dynamic Manifestation as Received Through the Akashic Records. And the 28th, Andy Tomlinson, Healing the Eternal Soul, Insights from Past Life and Spiritual Regression. The Noetic Science Meeting is on the 19th of July, on a Thursday. Liz Magnum, our reflexologist and Reiki master, will be giving a free lecture on healing yourself energetically, reflexology and Reiki, very tied into our topic today. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks, Lisa. Have a great day.
You.
And join us next week.